All right. This is Shane with Mountain Crypto. And today we're going to talk about what's happening with Bitcoin and with cryptocurrency. The global crypto market cap is $2.55 trillion with a 24-hour volume of $78.71 billion. And Bitcoin's price as of the writing of this is 68,000, almost 69. I think it's down. We'll look at the chart in a minute. Bitcoin dominance, 53%. Ethereum dominance is 16.1. So the fear and greed index is 79. So where are we at? What are we doing here? Well, there's some top news here. You can see this is a crypto slate here that has information on Hong Kong, the ETFs in Hong Kong right before the halvening, and all kinds of other good stuff. So we're going to talk about this today. Let's take a look at the actual price. Yes, unfortunately, Bitcoin is 66K. This is the drop that I talked about. We did touch a little over 70,000. So, we didn't get the big boom before the halvening, and I don't think we're going to. So I think we're going to just be kind of flat. In fact, I think we might even go 10 to 30% drop before we start to pick back up again and see the price go up, and then eventually we'll hit our all-time highs. So I hope I'm wrong. There's certainly a lot of good things going on. You hear me talk about Bitcoin dropping. I'm not selling. I'm not fearful or anything like that. And just as my disclaimer, not financial advice, not investing advice. I'm not sponsored by anyone that I'm talking about today. So I have no dog in the race. So anything I'm investing in, I tell you about. So there's nothing, no big secrets or anything like that. Nothing going on nefarious. All right. Well, here's some good news, I guess. Maybe it's bad news. Kathy Woods, ARK Invest, sells $20 million of Coinbase shares as Bitcoin trades over 70K. So we were just talking about stock at the last episode that I put out. And, I said Coinbase stock. Yeah, I don't have anything against it. I did sell mine. I mentioned that. I haven't bought it again. I don't object to buying it maybe in the future at some point. I think it's a great business model. They've got a vested interest with the government. Is she selling because of the lawsuits and she thinks they're going to lose? That's something to consider, right? Maybe not the best thing to invest in right this minute. Maybe the stock is going to suffer a little bit. So hard to say, right? You just have to figure it out and figure out what you want to do. But that's something to think about. All right. Coinbase is in the news a lot. They apparently leaked, according to Bitcoin.com, and actually that Kathy Wood article's on Business Insider at businessinsider.com. I always like to give credit to the articles. I know some of the very popular crypto news hosts don't always give a lot of credit to their sources. And they may have them on the screen, but a lot of people listen on podcasts. So it's good to give credit to those that are giving the information out there. Okay? And that way you know where I'm getting it from. And if it's something I come up with, like my own opinions, I tell you that. So if I'm not telling you it's my opinion, then it's a news source, most likely, or my own opinion based on past history. So yeah, they leaked 5 million Salvadorians apparently got their personal information leaked on a database associated with Coinbase, according to the article that I read. This is called the Shivo wallet. Okay, this might be a different one. I did read that some information got leaked from Coinbase, but this is not the article that I thought I was reading. So I have misspoke there on the beginning. But yeah, if you have anything to do with this wallet, I've never heard of it before. I don't even know how I pulled this up. I was reading an article about Coinbase. So maybe that's where it was right there. Maybe that's it. All right, crypto analysis. Here's some more positive news. I've got both, you know, negative and positive news today. But these analysts here at the Street Roundtable are theorizing that Bitcoin is going to go up to 220 this year. This year. That sounds possible. If you've listened to me, you know I'm predicting that the all-time high, which could be this year, might be next year, but it's going to be probably in the next 12 months, 12 to 16 months. And that would be 180,000 minimum. The high that I could see it going, I could see it going in the 200,000 bracket. That's possible. If enough investors come out of the woodwork and enough countries and companies, and I got some good news on that too, so stay tuned for that. Definitely possible. I do believe 100,000, 100K is going to be a psychological point that we're going to play with for a while. That's going to be a sell-off. There'll be a lot of sell-offs. But I believe with the inflows, if the inflows continue, that we can definitely break that 100,000 and push on up to the 160,000 plus range. That is my estimate based on past all-time highs. Okay. All right. So yeah, these market analysis here, these guys, they're down here. Nielsen's projection. This is thestreet.com. And Rob Nielsen writes the article here. He is talking about Bitcoin breaking the 80,000 barrier around the halvening, which hasn't happened yet, with a confident stride toward 100,000 before the year's end. So, I could see that. I don't know about 80,000 at the halvening. That would be great. I would love that. I don't think it's going to happen, though. Should have happened already. But, you know, it's just my guess. If we were to break 80,000, then I could see us doing 100,000, you know, within a week, maybe sooner. But, I don't know if that's going to happen. So, Altcoin Daily presented Aaron Arnold. He's his YouTube channel is Altcoin Daily. And he's done a prediction here. He says we're going to reach that 100,000 landmark. And, no problem before year's end. But here we are hovering at 66,000. They're talking about 70,000. I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think we're going to hit 100,000 by halvening. I don't think we're going to hit 80,000. Bitcoin Bros, they predicted Bitcoin would be between 120 and 220 by year's end. That sounds real reasonable to me. That I would agree with that. Williams underscored the significance of spot exchange traded funded ETF demand, corporate adoption, MicroStrategy Bitcoin accumulation, and government interest in Bitcoin driving this to make it happen. El Salvador led in incorporating Bitcoin into their reserves. But it looks like their ETFs are not going to trade Bitcoin in and out. So we thought that was going to be a great, great leader over there with a new level of freedom. They are allowed to have Bitcoin. That's good. But their ETFs are showing government control. I don't like that. All right. CEO hints at fee changes for Bitcoin ETF after $50 billion in outflows. This is the Street Roundtable as well. This is about the Grayscale company. They have been selling. They're actually the ones that are to blame for the 66,000. They dumped a whole bunch more. They have the highest fees for a marketplace of ETFs, 1.5%. Bitcoin Trust is offering just over a tenth of a percent, a 0.12 of a percent, tiny little bit. And they've managed to accumulate $17.8 billion in assets. So most of their competitors are at a 0.25%. So you can see they are six times higher than those folks. So yeah, they're thinking about lowering. Now they say they're going to maybe open a new product called the Bitcoin Mini Trust with lower fees than the spot ETF, but it's not available yet. So I don't know. You know, they say either poop or get off the pot. They are definitely pooping out and still on the pot. All right. Bitcoin plunges to 66K. This is a very recent article from Business Insider. That's where we're at right now. Altcoins tumble 10 to 15%, an ugly day for risk assets. This is typical. This is what I thought we were going to get a big raise, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I thought maybe I'm going to be wrong. Maybe we're not going to have that drop right before the halvening. But we did. And here it is. I'm just holding tight. I'm not going to move really much of anything around at all. Fact, I had some stable coins, and I've actually put them in the market. So I'm putting more in the market. It could continue to drop, and I might be sorry, but I have a little bit more funds to put in. If it does continue to drop, I'll just double down on some of my bets. So not a problem. Most of the things I've been holding since before October when it comes to altcoins. So I think I'm doing pretty well. I actually should have probably sold some stuff during that first spike that we had with the altcoins. But according to CoinDesk here and the Business Insider here, we are down 5% over the past 5 hours. Let's see where we're at right now. Yeah, we're about the same, 66.5. We're down about 1.7, but we're down 8.8% over the last 30 days. Ethereum's actually down almost 20% at 19.6% over the last 30 days. So I like CoinGecko. It gives you that snapshot of how far down we are. I mean, look at Chainlink, 28%, Polygon, 40% over the last month. So what you might be seeing, and I'm not investing in advice, but you might be seeing some buy opportunities, stacks. You know, this is a great Bitcoin narrative coin, down 18%. Cosmos Hub. I like Cosmos. I don't know, Cosmos Hub, is that the same thing as Cosmos? Atom, yeah, it is. Down 35%. I've got mine all staked, so, and I bought it a long time ago, so it doesn't really matter. I think I'm okay. Yeah. Look at the 30-day prices. 30s and 40% down. These are some buying opportunities, actually. Look at Filecoin. 38.5% down over 30 days. This could be a time to, if you have money available, this might be the time to start looking at some of these coins that you think are going to go up. And Pepe, oh, we got some news about Pepe. Pepe's down 35% over 30 days. If you're an altcoin gambler, this might be something to think about, and I'll tell you why. Let's see, where are we at? I had some news. Let's see. So we talked about that. I saw some news about Pepe. I don't know. Can you buy Pepe on Coinbase on the app? I know you can buy it on the wallet. Let me see. Where did I read that? I don't know. You might look into that. I can't remember if... I think Coinbase, the app, not the wallet. I don't think you can buy Pepe on there. I can't really check right now. I got everything kind of tied up. But if that's so, then it might be a good buy to buy it on another exchange. And if it does get listed on Coinbase, the app, it'll go up. If it's already listed on there, then not so great. Okay, Business Insider, will Bitcoin hit $100,000 sooner than expected? Thanks to the Chinese asset managers and Hong Kong's major ETF push. Well, that'd be great. I'd love to see that happen. I don't know. I mean, Hong Kong, these are businessmen here. I think they're going to try to buy it low. I don't think they're just going to pay top dollar for it just to get it. But, you know, they're going to be watching the market. Like right now is a time when Coinbase can take this stuff off the exchange and sell over the counter, and it won't affect the price. It won't drive the price back up. It'll take it a while before it actually hits until the retail investors get in and they start buying. And then all of a sudden there's no Bitcoin. The price just goes up, big jump, right? 10% in a day. This is the game that the big companies are playing with us. It says, despite China's firm ban on cryptocurrency trading, Hong Kong, closely tied to the mainland, could inadvertently play a pivotal role in Bitcoin's ascent to a much-awaited $100,000 price tag. The financial hub is on the brink of becoming a significant player in the crypto ETF player. So, yeah, they would... they're potentially going to get approval. It could even happen as soon as Monday. That would be fabulous. The managers see an opportunity. They want to launch these Bitcoin ETFs. At least four mainland Chinese and Hong Kong asset managers, including China's Asset Management, Harvest Fund Management, and Bosera Asset Management, have submitted applications. And... it says here, if they echo, they're expected to draw substantial global investment. These are reputable banks in the world scene. And it says where the ETFs in the U.S. have amassed a $58 billion asset, they feel that this could be very equal to it. That surge that the U.S. $58 billion has brought Bitcoin's price up by 60% this year, helping us hit that all-time high of over $73,000, almost $74,000. One analysis named Rebecca Sin says that she sees this as pushing global Bitcoin, see their assets could hit $100 billion, and that would definitely push Bitcoin up. Great article here. They are looking at Hong Kong already allows future-based crypto ETFs listing three with combined assets of $170 million, according to Bloomberg. So they're already doing this at some level. They just don't have Bitcoin on there. Isn't that something? So this is a great article if you want to check it out. Ben Zynga at Business Insider. All right, one U.S. senator, probably the only one, probably not going to have a lot of friends because the U.S. Oligarch, they don't like the idea of using Bitcoin as a solution for the fiat. They want it to be controlled. They're okay with it as a storehouse of wealth, I guess you could say. But as long as they have control. So that's why the ETFs are okay. And that's why they're cracking down on everybody. But Senator Marsha Blackburn said during a fire chat at the 2024 Bitcoin Policy Summit this week that the credit card costs are super expensive. And she is a Tennessee lawmaker. and she is committed to consumer rights and privacy, and she thinks Bitcoin could help customers save extra on charges for everyday transactions such as rent, mortgage, and car payments. Yeah, good luck with that. I'd love to see it, but she uses Afghanistan as an example, which, you know, the government will probably quickly turn around and say, well, you know, that funds terrorism. So, yeah. So she thinks that Bitcoin could help, U.S. President candidate Robert F. Kennedy recognizes Bitcoin as a means to combat government overreach. So I like a lot of stuff that Kennedy says, but he's still for taxes and all kinds of stuff, so I don't really believe him. I think he's just saying this to get votes that the Democrats aren't going to get. I think he's just trying to get that niche block of voters. So I don't really believe him. I mean, maybe he intends to do it, but I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, I don't believe any of them, actually. I don't believe Trump. I don't believe Joe Biden. I don't believe any of them. But Joe Biden is totally against cryptocurrency. So that at least he's honest about that. All right. Bitcoin implied volatility rises nerves of the fray before the halving. So this is kind of like there's a percentage of people here. This is Bloomberg.com. Maria Paula Majares Torres. What a long name. She tells us that, people are really paranoid. And that's true to an extent. But remember, Grayscale pushed us down to 60. Well, the United States government pushed us down to 64 after our all-time high of almost 74K. And now Grayscale has pushed us down a number of times. And Grayscale is primarily responsible for pushing us down to 66K right now, okay, because of their sales. So, you know, people get nervous and they panic sell, and that's going to happen, and that could be fighting what's going on. It's contagious. So, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. Some people think, oh my gosh, it's going to drop. Halfening's happening. Why isn't it going up? And then the halfening happens and it's going to drop more. People could sell. Now, while they're selling, all the whales and all the corporations that are smart will be buying it up any way possible. Okay, that's the time to buy. So Bitcoin, like we just read, 8% right there, 8% drop, 24 hours, or 5.6%, 24 hours, 8.8% the last month. Okay? That's what we're looking at. Quite a bit. 5.9% in 24 hours. That's a pretty big drop. Not the end of the world, but... All right. So the volatility, you can see the calendar there, the little chart. Those are the investors that are betting on Bitcoin. Contracts increase. People are going to short the market, or they're going to long the market, and then the opposite happens, and they get wrecked. They lose it all, and then it just drives Bitcoin price down. Now, when they're wanting to short the market and it goes up, well, they lose all their money and it goes up even more. So, you know, sometimes it can be, you know, good to see people shorting the market or whatever. So, yeah, it says implied volatility on contracts expiring in the next 2 weeks has increased the most from 59% to 71% in the span of 2 days. And this suggests expectations for near-term volatility are rising. So see, more volatility. In this case, likely more bearish as traders are uncertain but are willing to pay more for options to get protection against price swings, McCarthy said. They're possibly paying high premiums to buy downward protection. after a mostly one-way surge in Bitcoin since January approval of the ETFs. The price has swung in the last few months. Traders are focusing on the halvening and thinking that there's going to be a big prize because Bitcoin will get to be more expensive. Well, miners are only going to get half as much, so their funding is going to be half. So they're not really winning, right? And eventually the supply will push the price up. But it will take a while. It doesn't happen instantly. It takes a while. So here's another chart. Performance after the halvening. Okay. They're giving you a year after the halvening. And so you can see the 2012, the 2016, and 2020. Now we're in 2024. So the first year after the halvening, it goes up quite a bit. That's typically what happens. But it doesn't have to happen right after the halvening. Okay? If you look at the monthlies, you will see that it can be bearish just before the halvening, right at the halvening, or just after the halvening. It usually only lasts a few weeks to a month. And then it starts to make its progression back up, like we saw earlier this year, which was pushed by the ETFs. Okay? So it says, in all three halvenings, prices surged 9 and 12 months afterwards. So this is what we can expect. We can expect the price not to go crazy at the halvening. It's after the halvening quite a bit. So I agree with this analysis. I think we're going to see it quicker because the buildup before the halvening, that happens on good years, and we've seen it like never before. So I feel that the waiting 9 to 12 months, I don't think we're going to have to wait that high. I think that long, rather. I think we're going to see it build up a lot quicker. So I'm very positive that we're going to have a huge market and see all-time highs, but we're going to see a lot of volatility. So I did have to resubscribe to that. So that's about it. Be careful. Look for your opportunities maybe. Start thinking about how you might enter into the market and some good solid coins if you're not a real heavy-duty investor. If you are going to play the altcoin game, look for some of those in the top 50 to 100. If you're a gambler like me, then you're looking for ones that are small cap, and you're putting money into 10 different ones, trying to look for good investors, VC investors, people that are backing it, like Coinbase, Binance, some of these bigger organizations, and hoping that one of those will hit and that you can multiply your investment by many times and sell up a lot of it and buy more Bitcoin. That's the goal. Get more Bitcoin. So that's about it for now, guys. I thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, I am out of here. Shouldn't be streaming.